Hi, I'm Jack Arendt with you today to look at Jeremiah's prophecy, chapters 15 through part of chapter 17. It's the reading for July 31st. Today we get a real deep personal look into the life of Jeremiah. In fact, the beginning of our reading actually starts with a complaint from Jeremiah. In it he says, "I'm so low, feeling so low that I wish I hadn't been born." And he says, "You know, God, I've loved hearing your voice and having this close connection with you to where I hear your message. It really delights me. Yet it's only brought opposition and curses from the people. I can't help but think of how that's been true in my life. There are times when God's word is so sweet and real, and just having that personal connection with him delights my heart. Yet in this case, while Jeremiah acknowledges that, he's depressed and distraught because of the difficulty it's brought into his life. Well, as soon as he says that, God corrects him, and he says, "Jeremiah, you need to repent. You can't have this attitude. Don't you remember the promises I gave you that you'd be like a bronze wall, and that you'd be able to stand up against opposition?" He says, "I can't use you as my prophet if you're going to be so depressed that you want to die. So repent." Well, and then God goes on to give him some instruction for his personal life. He says, "By the way, Jeremiah, you're not to marry." And then he goes on to give him the reason why. He says, "In the near future, the city's going to be invaded, and families will be killed, children will be killed. And it's almost as though God is saying, 'Jeremiah, I want to protect you from the disaster that's about to happen to this city.'" Then he goes on to tell him, "Not only are you not to marry, but I don't even want you to go to funerals. Because in the future, there's going to be so much death and destruction and murder in the city by the invading forces that people won't even be, they'll be so overwhelmed they won't even be able to mourn or to even bury the dead to have funerals. So I don't want you to go to funerals as an example of what's going to happen in the future." Now right after this harsh, dark prophecy of what's about to happen, there's a couple of bright spots. There's a couple of messages of hope. One is that, yes, I'm going to carry the people off into captivity, but they're going to be brought back. In fact, it'll be so amazing that it'll be almost like the rescue from Egypt. And in fact, instead of people saying, "The Lord delivered us from Egypt," they will refer to the time when God delivered them from their captivity in Babylon. And this prophecy we'll see fulfilled as we look at the stories of Ezra and Nehemiah. So this is a prophecy of what will happen in the future. And then he goes on to say, "Because of your example, the nations will realize that the idols are nothing and that the Lord is God." So there's both a message of hope and a missionary message. That God, even as he is judging Israel, he has a heart to reach the nations. There's a picture of that right here in our reading for today. There's some other contrasts too. One is of the condition of the hearts of the people. He says that the people's hearts are so hard that they're like they've been engraved. You engrave hard things, and the people's hearts were hard. And then he even refers to the children. He says, "The visions the children have of worship are the visions of Asherah and worshiping idols." I couldn't help but think of how toward the beginning of the year we read about God's instruction to the people of Israel to talk about the Lord when they sat down and when they got up, and to put the word on the doorposts. Well, instead of being impressed with the Word of God and true worship, the children were impressed with the worship of idols. It shows how far the nation has drifted from God's intentions. Another picture we have is a warning of worshiping man, putting our trust in man. He says, in fact, if you put your trust in man, it's like you're like a bush in the desert, isolated, helpless, no water. Contrast that with a picture of someone who trusts in the Lord, that are like a tree planted by rivers of water, by streams of water. It's almost like a retelling of Psalm 1. They that trust in the Lord will be like a tree planted by living water. Well, after these instructions and words of hope, it's as though Jeremiah wraps it up by saying these words. It's like he's come full circle from his deep depression to saying this: "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." He started out with deep depression, wishing he hadn't been born. And now he says, "Heal me, Lord." It's like, yes, Lord, I still have these feelings, but I come to you, depending on you for healing and with praise. So let's keep going to the Lord, trusting him for healing and also with hearts full of praise, because he alone is God.